Well, this is awkward. How y'all doing tonight? So tonight is the night that I told my co-host, don't know where he is, nowhere to be found, that I was going to unveil a new name for the channel or for the show. I was going to bring out a new intro. I was going to do everything brand new so we could start all over again. And of course, the night that it actually happened, he is MIA. But the show must go on. It's not a lot of news to talk about. We're not going to be here very long, but I just wanted to come on, you know, just to kind of keep my regular schedule in balance. So appreciate you all for being here. This is The Rogue Pod. I'm your man, Hendo. We're going to talk a little bit of football. I know you saw the thumbnail, which may or may not be true. I cannot confirm nor can I deny these allegations, but we are going to talk about them. So before I get started, let's jump into the chat and see who we got so we can get in and out of here because I got some things that I need to do tonight. We got Brandon, a.k.a. Arkansas 501. Yes, I would love the Ravens to get Justin Jefferson as well, or CeeDee Lamb, but we know CeeDee Lamb is out of the question. He is one of Jerry Jones' favorites, and he ain't letting him go. And plus, that's Dak Prescott's boy, and if they make him the high-speed quarterback in the NFL, you know they got to head Bonnie to the Clyde. We got Brandon Bozell in the house. Yo, what's going on? Casey Buttons in the house. Let's get Justin Jefferson. Appreciate you. That Dub 20, what's going on? Jared Green, always support my man, Mamello. We got Osman in the house. What's going on? Osman, I sent you some emails, bro, about joining the Discord. What's going on? You don't want to be a part of it? Marcus Payne, appreciate you, my brother. Appreciate you. All right, let's jump into these topics so we can kind of get in and out here. But before I start, I want to tell a story, if you don't mind. If you don't mind me getting on my soapbox and telling a story, because I hate downing black businesses, but tomorrow is the wife's birthday. It's a birthday. So, you know, I'm like, you know, we're going to do something today. We're going to do something tomorrow. So I asked her, I said, hey, what do you want to do today? She says, let's go get something to eat. I'm like, cool. What do you want to eat? And for the first time in eight years, she tells me, I know what I want. Off the bat, off the rip, no problems. Bada boom, bada bang, bada bang. We head over to the east side of Baltimore. We head over there. She says to me, they have these oxtail tacos. Now, normally she doesn't eat meat. I don't eat meat. But she says they have oxtail tacos. I'm like, all right, cool. We'll go over there and get it. It's a pretty open spot and it has different venues in this place. So we get there. And her whole time, her anxiety's kicking up. And she doesn't normally get anxiety, but her anxiety's kicking up. She's like, I know we're going to get there. And it's going to be a line. We're going to wait 3 hours. It's going to be sold out. We get there. To our surprise, nobody's in there. And we're like, okay, cool. It's Sunday. Maybe people don't really know about it. We get there. The menu's popping. Like, they got oxtail stew, oxtail ramen, oxtail everything. So as she's ordering, she's telling them what she wants. And the lady's like, we only got oxtail egg rolls. And we're like, yo, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You're a pop-up spot. Should you not have more provisions ready? Shouldn't you be ready for this? You're a pop-up spot trying to make business, trying to propel yourself to get more customers. And it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Lunch just pretty much started. And you run out of everything oxtail. And the name of the place was, it was something clever. Waiting the oxtail. Instead of waiting to exhale, waiting the oxtail. And when I tell you, for the next 2 hours, all I heard was, how you not going to have enough oxtail? And I have everything on my phone, and I'm thinking of making a video about it, but I just had to get that out of there because I get tired of seeing black businesses on social media talking about don't ask for the hookup, you know, treat us like you treat certain other businesses, but I need y'all to operate like certain other businesses. Every time we go to the east side, every time we try something new, they never have anything ready. They're always unprepared, not always, but a lot of times they're unprepared and they just don't give you what they advertise. They get you to do things to draw you in, then they're out. But that's neither here nor there. Let's jump to these topics. I just had to get that off my head because I've been tripping off this all day long. Yes, no notification that John Harbaugh's been fired. He's not going to be fired. What's going on in life with Yolanda? I had sent you a message. I see you didn't respond at all, but it is what it is. What's going on? Appreciate you for dropping by. MDT Sports is in the house. All right, let's get to these topics. Because like I said, I got things to do. It's I have things to do. But yes, you're right. I can't listen. Be the change you want to be. Wish to see. You can't talk bad about black businesses. And I'm not talking bad about black businesses. I'm talking about certain businesses, certain ones that try to make a quick buck and do what they need to do. My thing is, I'm military. Like, I'm military and I'm OCD. So my thing is, if you're going to present yourself with something, or you're presenting yourself a certain way that you're going to do certain things, I expect you to do it. Like, if you tell me, and we've been to plenty of vegan spots that promise the world, and we've gotten there and it was a dump. We went to a couple places out in DC and them things just were the worst. And they said, look, I don't care what you see on the menu. We don't offer that. So my thing is, why did you advertise it on Instagram? Why is it plastered all throughout your establishment? But when we order, she keep telling us we don't have that. We don't serve that. But yes, I know we're not supposed to do, just like we're not supposed to say Black Panther was a bad movie around other people. I'm not saying it was a bad movie, but I'm just saying around other people, we can't say that. But anywho, once again, off track, football. This is why we're here. Appreciate y'all for dropping by. So we're going to start with, let's see, we're going to start with the salary cap. So we got some good news as Ravens fans, as the NFL as a whole, for most teams, not all teams, most teams. The salary cap has been raised to $255.4 million, up $30.4 million from last season. This, I do believe, is a record jump, and I think it is compensation for the year after COVID when the salary cap really didn't do much of anything. With this being said, in the beginning, we thought the Ravens were about $7 or $8 million under the salary cap, and I think this gives us an extra 10 mil. So if I'm not mistaken, the Ravens have about 18 million to play with under the salary cap. So that gives us a little bit more flexibility on what to do with Justin Madubuike. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, before it was going to be a little bit tight, and if we make some moves with Marlon Humphrey and Ronnie Stanley, we could actually create $43 million worth of cap space. Now, if we franchise tag Justin Madubuike, 20 of that is gone automatically. No negotiation, no ifs, ands, or buts. $20 million out of drain. If we do a long-term deal with him, that kind of gives us some flexibility to move some money around to the back end. But is it worth it? Do we think that $18 million is enough for us to do what we need to do in free agency? I know we need a running back. We, even though I read a Ravens publication this morning and I almost threw up, but of course, it was the Baltimore Ravens site. And they said, yeah, our wide receiver room is strong with Flowers, Bateman, and Aguilar. They named those three and said, we have a strong wide receiver room. I almost threw up because I'm like, you can't be yanking somebody off that much on a Sunday. It's supposed to be a day off. Anywho, we need a running back. We need a wide receiver. We need possibly two guards, maybe two tackles, and maybe a cornerback. So I give them that much. So 18 mil, you could do certain things, but I don't think that's going to get you the upper level players that you're going to need. I do think we're going to have to move some things around, maybe cut some people, trade some people, get some of that cap room off. How about Patrick Queen? Listen, this is the year that we take a stand on that. As far and as hard as we go for defense, we need to go that hard for offense. I'm sorry, Patrick Queen has to go. He's one of our better players. I give him that. I even saw something. I read something the other day that said Patrick Queen made Roquan Smith a better player. I can't confirm nor deny that, which I probably could, but Ro played with Patrick Queen. Ro got his two All Pros. Ro got his two Pro Bowls. But anywho, for me personally, I think that if you look throughout the Ravens organization and their history, you see that the Ravens find late round defensive gems all throughout their history. A lot of their fifth round picks, Matt Judon, Pernell McPhee, all of these guys, Za'Darius Smith, he may have been a fourth rounder, but he's a fifth rounder. A lot of these older players that we found on defense that have become stars and gone on elsewhere to make big money contracts have been in the later rounds. So we struggle finding offensive talent. Not to say that we may find someone on Patrick Queen's level. I can't say that we're going to find that, but I just don't think that you need to tie $180 million to $200 million into two inside linebackers. Like, that's just my personal opinion. There are needs everywhere else. Two inside linebackers, they aren't going to change the outcome of a game to me. I don't know how y'all feel about it. He may be one of your favorite players. He may be somebody that you want to keep on the team just for nostalgia's sake. I wanted to keep Hollywood Brown. Was he the best wide receiver out there? Not at all. But to me, he was a player that impacted the game, and I just liked him. So I wanted him on the team so I could understand that. But the Ravens just don't have money for that. And a lot of this has to do with Eric DaCosta. And I don't want no smoke. I know we're supposed to be toxic over here, but I don't want no smoke. But if you think about it like this, if Eric DaCosta actually hit on a lot of his draft picks, we wouldn't have to constantly keep signing free agents. If we didn't have to constantly keep signing free agents, we wouldn't constantly have to keep adding void years to these contracts. That would free up a lot more money for us to re-sign players. Also, if Eric DaCosta drafted better, we wouldn't have to wait till year three or four for these players to actually hit their stride and become the players that they're supposed to be. If we're drafting top first round, middle first round, they need to play expansive roles from jump. And in this way, it kind of circumvents us having to go out and get replacements. We're still trying to find an edge rusher, even though we have a first and second round pick at edge. We're still trying to find cornerbacks, even though we have a first and a third round and some fourth round picks at cornerback. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. But Patrick Queen, I just think he's going to be a little bit too expensive. And I think the Ravens are actually going to have to make a decision on either or. You know how they, you know, kind of how like they come to Lamar and say, do you want a wide receiver or an offensive lineman? Either or, you can't have both. I think this is something defensively the Ravens are going to have to do. They're going to have to go either or. So that's that. All right, what we got next? Appreciate you. Not you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you too. But I appreciate you. You know, I try to be here. I try to be present. I try to give you something because I actually was just sitting. It was like 5:15 and I was just sitting down watching TV and I was like, I got a show to do. But it's not any real news out there. And me personally, I don't like to just put stuff out there just for the sake of putting out content. I'm not going to be like, oh, the Ravens put new sod down at the stadium. How is that going to affect the players' ankles? Like, I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? If I have something to say, I'll say it. If not, or if I feel like people need to be entertained, because my co-host actually told me people wanted to be entertained. So I said, if they want to be entertained, I'll go try and entertain them. So that's why I'm here. That's what we're doing. What's going on, Zico Kage? Hottest name in YouTube. Appreciate you for dropping by, bro. We got Dewan in the house. What's up? All right. So with this bump in cap space, and to me, I didn't really delve into it and take a look. And just me and my simple mind, my common sense-ness, I figured with the salary cap projected being at one spot and then moving up more, I thought the Ravens were going to have more cap space. But apparently, a lot of the moves that they did, and I forgot about I think it's the $8.3 million in dead money that they had from Zeitler and the rest of those guys not being re-signed. So, yeah. But, you know, $18 million is a lot. The New Orleans Saints right now, and this is something I want y'all to pay attention to. Today is February 25th, Sunday, February 25th. The New Orleans Saints are $40 million over the cap, $40 million over the cap as of right now. Hit me back, I'll say March 7th, and let me know how many millions upon millions of dollars they have in excess to spend, because they manipulate the cap better than a lot of people realize. The team with the most cap room, unfortunately, is the Washington Commanders. Washington Commanders have $87 million. $87 million to spend in free agency. They can construct a team. And they have what? The second overall pick? Yeah, they have the second overall pick and $87 million in cap space. They can construct a team in any image that they choose. Like Magic Johnson and them can put together whatever team. First thing they need to do is get rid of Sam Howell. Quarterbacks from North Carolina, they just ain't getting it. But they have $87 million. We have $18 million, but we have a lot better team than does the Washington Commies. So we'll see what happens with that. All right. Next up, speaking of not having monies and additions and everything that a lot of Ravens fans want, I know this is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts because two seasons ago, the Ravens actually tried to make this trade. And if you guys have a lot of concerns with the defensive backfield of the Ravens, then I have something for you because I've seen a lot of mock drafts out there. I've seen a lot of people say we need to get a corner in the first round. But once again, we have a first-round corner. We have a first-round safety. We have a third-round safety. We have two fourth-round corners. We have third-round corner. But people say, corner, 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 we need more corners. I've said this before, and I've said this in my last video. The Ravens don't have a problem stopping teams in the postseason. The Ravens have a problem scoring. But for all of you people that must have yourself a quarterback, like, I get it. The Miami Dolphins are set to release Xavier Howard. So there you go. We tried to trade for him a couple years ago. His salary was $15 million per when somehow we didn't have any money on us because it was kind of light. We found a way to try to attempt to make a trade for a player who had a $15 million cap hit. Let me know how that happens. But he has now become available. The Dolphins, I think they're like 24 mil or so over the cap, and they're trying to move some money. Xavier Howard is still a good corner. I know last season it didn't appear that he had a really good season, but I think a lot of that had to do with Vic Fangio and the defense that he was running. He is more of a man-to-man corner. They played a lot of off-zone, a lot of off-press, and it just wasn't right for him. But I do think that he can come in this system and give us some security. Give us some security if Marlon Humphrey, because he has not been healthy in past seasons. Marlon Humphrey has not been the corner that he normally has been in the past. And to me, his skills are diminishing a little bit. I think the injuries are taking its toll, just like with Ronnie Stanley. So this brings us an insurance policy in the back end in case something happened. This also gives us insurance just in case Brandon Stevens cannot replicate the season that he had last year. So you guys love defense. You guys love corners. Why not bring him in? Let's give him a test drive. I know we need offense, but this eliminates the need to spend another draft pick on defense. Good God almighty. EDC has drafted a lot of defense that has not panned out. So let's get us a player that can actually play. Did you say Tom Munger the suspect? I agree, but you know, people love him. He's better than Greg Roman. And my fear is, one thing I think is going to happen or possibly happen is Greg Roman is going to shine in San Diego. They're going to sign Gus Edwards to be their running back, get them a power running game going, sign a wide receiver free agency possibly, and Justin Herbert may make him look like he is a legit offensive coordinator. And people are going to say, see, y'all shouldn't have let him go. I think that's one of the things that's going to happen. I don't know. He said, nah, if USL caliber John Simpson can start, then Pepe and Armour Davis can get reps at corner. That's factually correct. This is factually correct. That's my thing. And I think that's the thing that when certain people get their panties in a wad, so to speak, when certain guys get their panties in a wad and don't listen to what you're saying, but get offended by what they think that they're hearing. Because what's up, coach? Like you said, defund the defense. It doesn't mean don't invest in defense. That's not what defund the defense is all about. Defund the defense is from 2000 to 2023, the Baltimore Ravens have invested in defense. We are a run-first, defensive-led team. Outside of that outstanding 2000 season, and that lucky, because I'm going to call it what it is, Joe Flacco played out his mind in 2012, but that lucky 2012 season, what has defense won us? Outside of 2000, 2000 was not the last great defense that the Baltimore Ravens had. 2000 was not the last great defense, and defense is not getting it done for us. We keep investing in defense year after year. So defund a defense means put that same energy into getting Lamar weapons. Stop paying for all of these defensive players. Stop drafting all of these defensive players because they ain't working out. Listen, we want him to, and I don't care if you like a player when we draft him or not. At that point in time, he becomes a Raven, but if he can't play, he can't play. I'm sorry to say. So now is the time that we need to pivot and shift focus and see if we can win offensively. What harm would it be if we took the next two seasons to say, Lamar, here go all the keys to the house, the garage, the car, the basement, do what you need to do. And if he doesn't get it done, now we go back to your philosophy. But we have never tried that. We've tried defense first, offense second. And each and every season we go to the playoffs, we never score enough points. Never. Outside of that Tennessee game in 2019, tell me a game where the defense, they didn't even do it, but tell me a game the defense has let this team down in the playoffs since 2019. Let me know what game the defense was like, we ain't got it today, bro. We just letting these teams go up and down the field. They've never done that. But offensively, I can tell you some games where we scored 3 points. I can tell you some games where we scored 10 points. outside of that Houston game, we averaged 9 points per game in the playoffs. Outside of that 34-point Houston game, we averaged 9 points in the playoffs, and we averaged giving up 13 points. Even with that 28 versus Tennessee, we averaged giving up 13 points per game under two touchdowns. But yet and still, here we are. We need an edge rusher. We need a cornerback. We need a defensive tackle. We need to spend all this money. And listen, Justin Madubuike, Patrick Queen, Geno Stone, get your money. I'm always for the players getting paid. But get your money somewhere else. Please get your money somewhere else. I don't like when players get paid for 1 year of production. Justin Madubuike balled out of control. Get your money. I hope he gets 25 mil a year. Just not here. You know what I'm saying? Because the same thing happened, and not maybe you all, but the same thing happened some years ago when we said, or I said, I didn't have a YouTube channel, but I said, yo, do not give Brandon Williams that money. And when they said the money that Brandon Williams was looking for, I was like, we good. Because ain't no way the Ravens giving Brandon Williams $50 million. Ain't no way the Ravens giving Brandon Williams $50 million. And guess what they did? They went and gave Brandon Williams $50 million. And that changed the landscape of the team. And he never really helped the team get over that hump. You tell me when Brandon Williams helped the Ravens win a playoff game. Now, they had the statistics that when Brandon Williams was in a game, we gave up less rushing yards than we did when he played. But when did that equate the wins? It did not. What do we have here?
Lando.
What's up? Man. It's nice of you to show up.
It is nice of me. I'm glad that you said so. You're welcome. I may or may not have fallen asleep. When I looked at the clock, it said 7:19. I was like, no, it isn't. That's not possible. Because the show started at 7. So I apologize.
You good. It happens, bro. But you missed the new intro.
Oh, man.
It's a brand new intro. All
right. Well, next week
we got a name. We have a name for the show now.
What's the name of the show now?
The name of the Sunday show is Any Given Sunday.
Gotcha.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Is that because of the nature of the show where we could miss the show any given Sunday?
No.
I like it less now, but it's still good.
No, like Al Pacino said, you win or you lose on any given Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, you know.
That's the Al Pacino impression.
Yeah. Short notice. I mean, I'm not an entertainer. Like, I don't do impressions.
I feel like you are an entertainer. That's what you do.
No.
Entertain the people. Hello, people in the chat room.
I've been sitting over here going on and on for like the last 20-something minutes.
I was sitting backstage for about 16, 17 minutes, to be fair. 16,
17 seconds?
Minutes. It's been a while.
Yeah, it was so good. All right, do you have any thoughts on the Xavier Howard being right? Appreciate that. All right, moving on. So, reports, rumors, things out there that state that there is some steam, some motivation, some just everything that the Minnesota Vikings and Justin Jefferson could part ways. Now, for me personally, Jose spoke about this weeks ago. And when Jose kept saying the Ravens should go out there and get Justin Jefferson, I was like, I would love it. I really would, but it really ain't no way the Ravens are going to be able to acquire him. They're looking into keep who out of B-more, Xavier or Justin?
Are you talking about Justin?
No, you not. I can't believe that. But yeah, so they were talking about extension, making him the highest paid wide receiver in the game, which me personally, I think he should be because what is he? He's only like 24, 25?
Yeah.
Maybe 26 at the most. And he produces crazy numbers with Kirk Cousins. So imagine if he swapped shades of purple, came to the Baltimore Ravens, the impact that he would have on this offense. A guy that Lamar has never had. A guy that you can just throw the ball up to. Oh, he was talking about Xavier. A guy that you could just throw the ball up to, no matter if he was double or triple covered, and just go get it.
No, I think that was came from that, because that message that he put in there says Zaven.
He so meant he.
Who he saw, you can't just jump to conclusions, and it came up there after you started talking about Justin Jefferson. So
there's a delay. There's a delay. You know, we speak, and then it relays to StreamYard, then it goes through something else.
Nah.
Shout out to the channel from Martin Spain for supporting what you guys built.
Appreciate you, bro. We have built a lot. Apparently, we have not built a foundation on being on time. Apparently, that's not the foundation that we built. But what? What are your feelings on Justin Jefferson?
My feelings on Justin Jefferson are that if Justin Jefferson is available, Justin Jefferson should be a Panther.
Why?
Y'all say this. Y'all keep saying stuff like this. But one, you don't know because you ain't never had nobody like that. But two, you don't have to know how to use Justin Jefferson. Just put him on the field and he'll do his thing.
Facts.
You know, like, I mean, I'm just gonna look. Hollywood had 1,100 yards about under John Harbaugh and Greg Roman.
True.
So let's just imagine Justin Jefferson will have at least 1,600.
Lamar's a better passer, better passing schemes, and just the all-around better player. I could see him having 1,600, 1,800 yards.
But here come Ravens fans like Justin, ew. What about that old dude, Mike Evans?
Now listen, this because listen, that's because the Ravens have programmed us to be in,
sir.
The Ravens have programmed us to be into a comfort zone. Like, we don't feel comfortable. Like, you know, it's kind of like, and I hate to bring it to this, it's like the show that we're watching, Love is Blind. Love is Blind.
Is that a show we're watching?
Or? I mean, you know, you've seen it, I've seen it. But it comes to a point in time where some people realize or just self-believe that they don't deserve love. They don't deserve to be loved. And some Ravens fans believe we don't deserve nice things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They don't think that we deserve nice things on offense. So you say Justin Jefferson, and people get nervous, like, nah, because if we get Justin Jefferson and we don't do anything with him, what is our excuse going to be? Mm-hmm. What can we say now? Because once we put everything out there, once we surround Lamar with the talent that he needs, if the Ravens actually lose and don't win, we can't sit there and say, oh, it's because of this and it's because of that. We will know. The leadership around us ain't working right, and they're not doing everything that they need to do to make this team as successful as it could be.
And to that, I believe that is a feeling a lot of people share. You hit the nail right on the head. Ravens fans are scared of expectations. They don't want people expecting them to win. And to that, I would say you're losing already. So who cares?
We're actually winning.
But you're actually not. You lose every year, and you lose in embarrassing fashion every year. So why not try the other way? Yeah. Okay. Maybe you still lose.
I mean, we almost kind of did that this year. Well, wasn't productive. He was just injury riddled, and we gave him 15 mil.
I swear to God, man. I swear to God, y'all gonna stop acting like you play some kind of special brand of football in the AFC North, man. Y'all gonna stop acting like every other team ain't got very, very productive wide receivers in that tough nose division. Okay, No, listen, ain't nothing different. The only thing in the AFC North is the Ravens' attitude of not wanting to score points.
I apologize that we're not in the rough and rugged NFC South.
Look, you can make your little jokey jokes.
I'm not.
All right? Like, yo, no. There ain't nobody in the NFC South saying, please don't bring me a talented wide receiver. Have you seen the defenses down here? Nobody's saying that.
Sure.
Yes, I'm very sure. We don't have talent, but that's a whole different issue, Hendo. I'm saying that nobody is sitting there saying, don't bring us talented players because, oh my God, what if one of the defenders hits them?
This is true. I agree. I mean, the AFC North is not what it used to be. Like, we don't play – the NFL itself doesn't allow you to play that same rugged smash-mouth football that we used to play. You know, and if you look at it, if you actually look at Cleveland and you actually look at Cincinnati, and before, you know, Baby Mitts got to Pittsburgh, they were actually offensive teams that were better offensively than they were defensively. So things have changed, and I will agree. We love being an underdog. Like, we, for some reason, we play super tight when we're favored. But when we're an underdog, we love going through that. Just like that's how we won our Super Bowls. We won our Super Bowls as wild cards. Mm-hmm. And people didn't expect much from us, and we just came out of nowhere and won a title. But every time we've been favored to win,
I'm just scared cowards, man.
We shat the bed. I can't say scared cowards. They may just, you know, the weight of expectation. Sometimes some people can't handle it, no matter how big of a star there is. I don't know if you saw, and it's funny because I don't know if you saw OTR Mike's tweet that he just put out. It was some pitcher. He had a picture of a pitcher standing on a mound, right? And the dude's hands were like this. Or was it a football play? Somebody, I don't know who it was, but his hands were shaking crazily. And it's like, yo, you've been doing this all your life. But some people still get nervous and some people still lose focus. And I think that's the Ravens season in and season out.
Yeah, scared cows. That's what I said.
I mean, listen, don't get me wrong, Rob, but the AFC North has good teams. It's just, like Brian said, we don't play special football. The Ravens play special football. It's called choke ball. It's called peanut butter sandwich ball, where they had the best roster in the NFL and just do nothing with it just because. Dang, is that right? Now that you put that in perspective.
Yeah, didn't the NFC East have three teams in the playoffs last year?
The year before, yeah. They did.
Yeah, I mean, not this year, but the year before.
Yeah,
are they special? Robert?
Never.
Is that a special brand of football they play in the NFC East?
Never. Not at all. They play losing football. I don't even know how they put it. I mean, it is the NFC, so it's a little bit different. Weaker conference.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You say that. It's funny that you say that, but I would posit that the division and the conference where, you know, three teams could be over 500 from 9 to 11 wins without a goddamn quarterback is probably the weakest division. Right? When the team quarterbacked by Joe Flacco, you'd be, you know, strolling around with 11 wins. Maybe y'all are the weaker conference in reality.
They had the number two defense.
Oh, wow. Number two defense. Okay, what does Cincinnati have in Pittsburgh? Because they had winning records as well.
They had T.J. Watt. They had Trey Hendrickson.
Okay.
Sam Hubbard.
Yeah, okay.
Cam Hayward.
Cool.
Minka Fitzpatrick injuring anybody else's star players. Like, they had people.
Yeah, I know. I like how you listed players from both teams together so that it would sound like an impressive roster. Yeah, that's fantastic.
I mean, listen, it's nothing special about this division. We love to say, but listen, every team in the division had a winning record. Even though all four teams did not make the playoffs, every team had a winning record in this division, and it's an accomplishment, but it ain't nothing special. It really ain't. Like, none of them went anywhere. Most of them were one and done. We made it to the AFC Championship game, but now it's time to build on that. It's time to refocus, readjust our energy, and it starts with #defund the defense.
Yes.
Go offense. What is it going to hurt to change your identity for one season? Because what are we going to do at running back? Are we going to sign a year older, a year weaker, a year closer to retirement, Gus Edwards, to be our lead back? And I think to me, it's sad. I like Gus Edwards. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I really like Gus Edwards. And Bradley knows I really like Gus Edwards. But you're telling me you got Justice Hill starting over him? That says a lot. Because Justice Hill can't play.
It doesn't say a lot. It says exactly what should be said about Gus Edwards. Neither one of them is a starting running back. You flip a coin and go with whoever wins it. You know, Justice was sitting there like, man, tails never fails. And boom, that's your start of the rest of the year.
Listen, so look, you know how, excuse me, you know how we got that joke? Every time that Shug says he's Mexican, Caleb just pops out of nowhere and is like, you're not Mexican. Sure. Every time we talk about Gus Edwards, Agnes comes out of nowhere.
Agnes, keep Gus for what? Keep Gus for what? Agnes, keep him for what? What's he, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
what are you going to do?
You got to go. And I like Gus. I really do. And I hope he goes somewhere and gets paid and gets utilized the way that they need to utilize him.
He did get paid already in Baltimore.
He got $5 million.
Boy, he gonna get anywhere else.
We don't know that. Man had 13 touchdowns last year. He about ching. So yeah, we need to go get somebody else. We need to get somebody that they can run into the ground. I hate to say it like that, but somebody that they can count on down in, down out. And Gus is not that guy. And I've tried to stick up for Gus Edwards for forever. And Bradley kind of shut me down with one sentence. I think it was the second half of the Kansas City game, and the safety just tackled Gus one-on-one, like kind of picked him up in the air, like one leg, and just shut him down one-on-one. And Bradley was like, oh, that's your special guy? And I looked and was like, yeah, that ain't really special. Like, you let a safety do that to you? That weighs probably 70 pounds less than you?
Brandon, we've already got Gus Edwards. His name is Chuba Hubbard. All right, we're not like y'all delusional about the players who play on this team.
What's going on, Drift Sports? I like the comparison. He's not going to become Chris Holmes. He's not going to be Chris Holmes. He's going to be more of.
There's a few reasons for that, by the way. First among them being Gus isn't that talented.
I would have to say yes. They aren't going to pay anyone with that kind of talent. I mean, I know they're not, but you know.
Okay, well, here's the thing, Agnes, and this is my problem with Ravens fans, right? If you think they're not going to pay anyone with talent, don't say keep Gus. Say fire Eric DaCosta then, if that's what you believe. If you're going to sit there and tell yourself, hey, you know what, I know they're not going to get anybody who can play. Then
what's the point?
Why you care about having that GM then? Now, I mean, I think they're going to go and they're going to get Derrick Henry. I mean, not my number one choice, but it's definitely an upgrade. But don't just settle. Say, hey, I don't think that they're going to do their job. So, Gus, come on back.
Well, we know they're not firing her. They're not firing John either. So we're gonna go through the same song and dance. Unless something changes this offseason, we're gonna go through the same song and dance. We're gonna be sitting here this exact same time next year, just like we were last year, talking the same stuff. Ravens just couldn't score enough.
Brandon.
What happened?
Brandon, I know you ain't serious.
What's that?
If Lamar Jackson was a running, I guess I'm assuming you mean wasn't a running quarterback. Gus Edwards would be the third best running back in Ravens history. Gus Edwards is a good running back. Are you serious? I mean, I guess, you know, since you did narrow down to Raven history, since y'all haven't had that.
Hola. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's Ray Rice.
Jamal Anderson. I mean, Jamal.
Damn.
Jamal Lewis.
I mean, he probably is the third best running back you've ever had already, right? In reality,
Priest Holmes.
He didn't do anything in Baltimore.
He had a 900. He had a 1,000-yard season in Baltimore.
Oh, what? That one time? Cool.
He led us in rushing during the Super Bowl season.
I don't think he did. Did he?
I think he did.
98 but they still, is when he had 1,008 yards.
Was it 98?
Yeah. He was already in Kansas City in 2001.
But we won in 2000.
Hey, I'm saying he had 588 yards in 2000. He didn't, okay. he didn't start playing well.
Until he got to KC. Kansas City.
And listen, he had 3 years.
What's going on? Appreciate you for dropping by. Listen, I'm going to say this. And a lot of people do not give Lamar enough credit for this. Lamar tries to get his teammates paid intentionally. He tried to do that with Hollywood before he left. He tries to get his teammates paid. There are so many other times when Lamar could have took it in for a touchdown, and he just was like, not today. I'm going to give it to Gus and let him get it because he's in a contract year. Like, he's cognizant. He lives in the moment. He's so situationally aware of what's going on around him. And I'm not taking anything away from 13 touchdowns, because 13 touchdowns is an amazing stat that a lot of greats in the NFL have never done. But 13 touchdowns, to me, signifies the great work of somebody else getting you to the goal line and you vulturing those touchdowns. Right. So it's not like Gus took you down there and scored. Lamar got you to the cusp. He got you to the precipice, and Gus Edwards was just like, I'm just going to fall forward real quick. Bow. So I'm not taking – I love Gus. Like, I like Gus. I thought Gus should have been given more opportunities to be the starter. Even the year when we signed Mark Ingram, I thought they should have given him the starting role. But after that injury, after that, when J.K. went down the first time and they said, all right, Gus, this your team. Do what you need to do. Gus's immediate reaction was, I'm going down too. I don't like the pressure. You're putting too much pressure on me. I'm not going to do it. And yeah, he didn't. But enough about that. Listen, and I saw somebody bring this up, and I wanted to ask, and I was hoping Brady would come, because I don't really know what happened. I just know I got shown a video I saw. I don't know what happened. Can you tell me what happened here, Brady? Why are they jumping Cam Newton at his own camp?
I don't know. I mean, people are idiots. And the real question is, why is it three or four of y'all and you get your ass kicked by Cam Newton? That's the real question. And to your point about they didn't really use Priest Holmes like that. Priest Holmes had 230 plus carries 1 year in Baltimore, and he wasn't running at 5.5 yards per carry. If you could imagine that, okay? I'm not gonna say he wasn't a good player, right? I'm not gonna say that he wasn't a good player, right. But the success of the running backs in Kansas City was about the O-line, which is why they had Priest Holmes, which is why they had Larry Johnson, and then they had Jamaal Charles all in a row, right?
Larry Johnson was he had that one good year.
He had 1 or 2 years, and then he was gone.
And then he said, I'm approved, y'all. I'm from Penn State.
And then Jamaal Charles held up one of the highest yards per carry average in the history of the NFL. But I guess they just got really lucky in selecting just phenomenally talented running backs all in a row, and it just wasn't the whole line instead.
Kind of like Denver, huh?
Yeah, kind of like Denver.
Except for Terrell Davis.
And they had like 7 straight 1,000-yard running backs who y'all couldn't name.
Terrell Davis,
mm-hmm.
Orlandis Gary,
Orlandis.
Mike. Yes, what's that?
You said Gary. Orlandis.
Orlandis Gary, Mike Anderson,
mm-hmm.
That other kid.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, he was. He was pretty. He was doggy.
Quentin Griffin. Oh, no, this is. That's who you meant.
Quentin Griffin? I forgot all about him, so I'm not even going to hold you on that one.
Tatum Bell.
Yeah. The little guy.
There was another one or two in there as well. I can't remember.
But yeah, Terrell Davis was special outside the system. That's why he got 2,000.
Yeah. Oh, Clinton Portis. Forgot to. Yeah, he was in there.
I mean, he went to Miami. Nobody forgets that.
And then they shipped him off to Washington. He's like, well, I do, though.
Yeah. Did he play? He played for Denver, too. I forgot about Garrison Hurst.
Garrison Hurst? Did he play for Denver?
I know he played for San Francisco. He played for Arizona. He played for San Francisco.
Garrison Hurst. I don't believe he played for Denver, but let me see here. Yeah, in his last season, but no, he did not go over 1,000 yards. He had 20 carries.
I like Garrison Hurst too.
He played for Cincinnati, Arizona, and San Francisco.
San Francisco. Yeah.
And he went over 1,000 yards for Arizona and San Francisco.
Nice. Sweet. But yeah, I mean, they had it. And a lot of it has to do with the system. And somehow Baltimore is their run team, but they never had that system.
I forgot Gus isn't the third best running back in Ravens history.
He's not.
No, because my man don't make the law. He just enforces it. I forgot all about him.
Hold up. Does Gus have more than LaRon McClain?
Yeah. Absolutely. He has more than- not in a single season, but
total. No. Total?
He has to. Because that would just be embarrassing for y'all if he was making this argument. And then
more than what is McGahee?
I would believe so. Yeah, McGahee wasn't there very long.
It don't matter. Like Gus has only been here a certain amount of time.
No, Gus has been there for 5 solid years carrying the ball.
Man, he missed one season.
Well, yeah, he did. But no, LaRon McClain only had the 1 year.
He did.
Why are they trying to act like I'm spelling McGahee wrong?
Because you don't know how to spell it?
Oh, no, there's a thing in front. That's what happened. Okay.
Okay. So, no. So, Gus Edwards is third.
Is he?
Yeah. Gus Edwards is third.
Why?
But he's fourth if you count Lamar Jackson.
Why? Wait. How was he third? You had Lewis, Rice.
Jackson, Edwards, McGahee, Holmes, Justin. Because Justin Forsett only played for like 2 seasons.
Yeah. He only played there. He was there for a brief time. But, I mean, my man killed it when he was the starter there.
Yeah, he had like 1,500 yards.
Yeah, he had 1,500 total yards. So he's better than Gus.
Well.
You can't take that away from him.
Well, in the other seasons, he only had like 400 or 500, so.
No, he only played for you. He was only your starter for 2 years. Well, 1.5 years.
And he gave us 1.5 years of production.
What's Gus giving you?
Gus has given us 4 years of
production. No, if we're gonna downgrade, Gus is giving you about 2.5 years of production.
Look at that. Look at Gus has 374 yards receiving. Bow!
For his career.
Yeah, full screen.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
Wait a minute. This has not been updated. This has not been updated. Well, no, I guess it's postseason, so it don't count. Because I was about to say, Lamar Jackson has no receiving yards, but that was postseason, so it don't count. And it's crazy looking at this list now. The Ravens, want to be such a run-dominant team, have had some bum-ass running backs.
So I tell you, they don't want
good.
They say that. They're Lord. Not actually that. They're not good actually that.
Lord.
You can never look at any point in Ravens history, except for, like I said, with Jamal Lewis and then to a lesser extent with Ray Rice. You know, those were the times you used to, hey, man, they had a talented enough player there to say that they were going to be this run-dominant team. But they don't really like to live up to that. They just like to say it. They like to cosplay that.
This list is crazy. If y'all get a chance, check out this list of rushing yards in Ravens history. Joe Flacco is 20th. And I'm like, oh, he played here for a minute. Okay, cool. But what blows my mind is Devontae Freeman is 23rd. Devontae Freeman played a season here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 23rd in all-time rushing in Ravens history. Tyler Huntley's 25th. This is sick, man.
It is. And it's just like if you look at wide receiver. You just not having talent is the Ravens thing. That is their identity. Not having offensive talent.
All right.
That's who they are.
But you listen to people, oh, this is why receiving room is stacked. They stacked. Mm-hmm. This offense is stacked. I just listen. Eric Rett, and I hate Eric Rett because he went to Florida, but Eric Rett is like our 12th leading rusher. And he really only played for us for like two seasons. Like this, I'm not even looking at wide receivers. I'm not even doing this to myself. It's Sunday. I need to relax. All right. But yeah, the Cam thing, listen, the Cam situation is truly, truly sad. My thing is, he's doing something to help the kids, and your ignorance for whatever reason, you're attacking him. But more important, where's his security at? I'm sorry. Oh, my security getting fired tonight.
Did you see the way he was manhandling them kids?
It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. I'm paying y'all to do a service, and I'm sitting here having to fight myself. For what? What am I paying you for? If that's the case, I just bring some dudes from around the hood. We gonna do what we need to do. Yes, they don't listen.
They every single one of them look like a smaller, weaker version of Josh Newman.
That's just crazy. But yes, they don't even try when there's competition to bring free agents to Baltimore. They don't, because they want to live on past success. It could be, and as a fan base, I think a lot of that has to do with us, because we give into that narrative and we hype them up as, yeah, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. And I'm asking you, what's wrong?
I'm sorry. I was just looking, and 60 games into his career, Justin Jefferson would be the all-time leading receiver in Baltimore by over 100 yards.
Yep. I said, I told y'all.
That's a goddamn shame.
66 games. It took this dude 66 games.
60.
Even worse. 60 games. And Derek Mason is our leading receiver with like 7,700 yards.
5,700.
Derek Mason has 7,700 yards.
Not in Baltimore.
It has to be.
5,777, this says.
Oh, yeah, you're right. 5,700.
Todd Heap, number two.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. It is five.
If Mark Andrews is the elite tight end y'all say he is, he'll be number two next season. He's only 1,100 yards behind Todd.
What's up, Jerry? Yeah, I'm sorry. 5,700 yards. So our leading receiver in franchise history, 5,700 yards. Justin Jefferson did that by himself in five seasons. I'm sorry, less than five seasons.
Yeah.
What does that say about the talent that we're bringing in on offense? This is an offensive league. And for people, and I love when people say, oh, well, you know, we're consistently drafting at the back end of the draft, and you can't get that talent like they do in the early stages. Justin Jefferson was drafted 22nd overall. What's the excuse? We couldn't have went up and got him? Good God. That dude has 5,900 yards receiving, and he missed almost half of last year.
Yeah. T Higgins is surprisingly close as well.
Are you serious? With all the games he missed?
He's played 58 games. Mm-hmm. He's not nearly as close as Jefferson, but I mean, Jefferson is already past the record, but he's at 3,684. So he's 2,100 yards behind, you know. So two seasons, T. Higgins will be the number one receiver in Ravens history.
That is awfully sad. And yeah, part of it has to do with Harbs telling people, if you care about your stats, if you care about how you're producing, don't come to Baltimore. Well, that's how they get paid, John Harbaugh.
And that's when Dez Bryant, Deshaun Jackson, DeMarcus Robinson, Seth Roberts, they was all like, yo, you better call. They told that agent, you better call EDC.
Willis Sneed. And then my thing is this, and I can understand to an extent the mentality that he says he doesn't want, but I want my receiver divers. I want my receiver saying, I want the ball. I want my receiver saying, hey, the Chiefs are winning 17-10. Get me the ball, and I'm going to make it happen. And those are the players that make the difference come playoff time and come championship Sunday that take your team over the top. Not the guy that sits back and like, you know, if I get the ball, I get the ball. And, you know, if I can make a play and help my team, I'll try.
Yeah.
Golly gee, Willikers. Like, I don't like them. I want somebody like a Steve Smith. Get me the ball. But we don't want that personality in there. Hey, who's Hendon? I guess that's me. Do you think we should trademark Andrews? 100% most definitely. 1,000%. We should trademark Andrews as soon as the period opens up. Oh, they can trade him right now. Trade his ass right now. And it's not because, and I'm not one of those that say, well, you know what? Isaiah likely performed pretty well. And for some reason, they're making up this false narrative that Charlie Kolar played out of his mind last year. And he's ready to step up. But I would trade him for the simple fact that I don't think Mark Andrews looks like Mark Andrews of old. Like, he's limping around. And I think Bradley made the joke about Dennis Pitta and the bad hips.
No such joke about Dennis Pitta, sir.
You said something about the Baltimore tight end and the bad hips.
Look, I don't know if that was about Mark Andrews. I'm just saying. And forget what he looks like. Whether he looks like he lost a step or not.
It's not the step, he looks hurt.
Say he was prime Mark Andrews.
Okay.
Yeah, still want to trade him.
I still want to trade him.
Because prime Mark Andrews isn't great.
He's not as great as people make him out to be. And that's what I'm saying, Black. Like, they keep pushing this narrative that the wide receiver room is great. Because they said it. The Ravens website said, we have Flowers, we have Aguilar, and we have Bateman. Our wide receiver room is straight. We're tight. Like, they're good. And they're trying to build up Kolar because they want to build this narrative that we need to get more defense and the offense is pretty fine the way it is. But trademark Andrews. Like, I understand. And for some Ravens fans, they think he's a top two, top one tight end in the NFL. He's never been. And let me remind you, the one all-pro season he had, we did not make the playoffs. So how much of that was garbage time?
You can rank him second if you want. You'd be wrong if you ranked him second because it's Kelsey and Kittle and everybody else. But the point of it is all rankings are not created the same, right? Let's say he was legitimately the second best tight end in the league behind Travis Kelsey. Let's say that was true. There's still an 80-mile gap between Kelsey and Andrews. Like, Kelsey, you know, I said before, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and Mark Andrews has to buy a ticket to go to the Hall of Fame. Like, he's never gonna be, he's not even going to be a finalist for the Hall of Fame.
Ain't no biggie. Facts. Oh, listen, and he may have a point because, you know, you say that, but Hawkinson, the kid up at the De La Porta.
Sam LaPorta.
LaPorta.
That day.
I'm sorry, LaPorta.
The reality is, you know, you can make an argument for him being fifth.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see, because if with a new offensive staff, we'll see what happens with Kyle Pitts.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't Kyle Pitts. Listen, Mark Andrews has been great for us. He ain't Kyle Pitts.
He has as many 1,000-yard seasons as Kyle Pitts.
Does he really?
He does.
Wow. Even with Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke as his quarterback? Remarkable.
I really hope whoever it is lifts the curse on Kyle Pitts this year. Yeah. It's a damn shame.
Me too. Listen, having to it, but you have to realize that's how the Ravens won in 2019, and we have a hard time letting go of the past. And we believe if we did it in the past that way, it's good in the future. This is the same reason why we still have a fullback on our roster.
I don't think it's pointless having two good tight ends. I mean, like, it helps you create mismatches if you know how to use them. But y'all got Todd Monken running and John Harbaugh running your offense. Okay. So who cares?
Do we have two good tight ends, though?
Yeah, probably.
You don't sound, your voice got real high.
Look, I mean, they likely had a really good end to the season. Good end to the season.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know for certain that he can do that over the course of a full year. I'd like to think he can, but he hasn't proven that.
Right. I think he can improve, but is he one of those tight ends like the ones that we mentioned before that, you know, can go out there and dominate, that can get open? Is he a Kittle's type or half of a Travis Kelce?
No.
That when you need a first down, and that's the problem that I've had with us needing offense, when we need a guy to get us a first down that we can guarantee is going to be open and get open, we haven't had him. We haven't had him at all. So Listen, if we keep Mark Andrews, cool. I'm not mad at it. But if we can get some value for him and maybe get somebody else in another position to shine and cut that fullback and save $4 million, I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. But let's stop with the Mark Andrews is better than Travis Kelce. Because I've never seen Travis Kelce have more than four catches in the playoffs. Mark Andrews doesn't have a touchdown in the playoffs.
Right.
Isaiah Likely does. Mark Andrews has zero. Now, I will say, Grant, if you like stats and things, Mark Andrews has three touchdown drops. He's dropped three touchdowns in the playoffs. I don't know if that means anything.
My man is super worthless in the playoffs.
Facts. And listen, I would love to give him that opportunity because we keep saying this, and this doesn't just go defensively. We need to give these draft picks opportunities to see what they can do, because I'll be damned if they do something with Mark Andrews and then go out there and try to sign a free agent tight end. Like, let your draft picks play to find out what they can do, because we have so many draft picks that just sit on the shelves year in and year out. What was the point? What is the point of trading back and getting less talent? And then for me, Brodney, I think the thing that is making me, I won't say upset, but I think the thing that's kind of grinding my gears is everybody keeps saying that this draft is offensive. They have a lot of depth on the offensive line, especially mm-hmm. at tackle. There's a lot of depth. And for me, all that means is Eric DaCosta is going to trade back to acquire more picks because I feel like he's going to think, well, you know what? I may not be able to get the third best tackle. So I'll trade back and get the eighth best and acquire some more picks and then get the 14th best cornerback and the 13th best fullback. So instead of getting that top tier talent, I think these things just lend itself to this gives me a built-in excuse to trade back, acquire more picks and get less talented people. And then we'll end up here 4 years from now when he drafts that fourth round tackle and he balls out of control on his contract year. And then they let him go. They let him walk because they're like, hey, you're too expensive. Let's try this once again. And we just keep wasting Lamar's years.
Yeah. That's how y'all do it.
Mm. Ouch. You wasn't supposed to agree.
I'm sorry. I mean, that's how y'all do it. I don't. He said himself that he's not better than anybody else at drafting. So they acquire more picks. So he has more shots at it.
But this is true. But you would think by now he would get the hang of it because he's had a lot of draft picks. And to me, if you get closer to those blue chip players, it to me would make it kind of harder to miss. Like if you start getting in the group of players that we think can play and have done it throughout their college career, bet. I have a better chance, but me trading back and just saying, give me this guy from here and this guy from there and Caillou Blue Kelly from there, it don't work out. Give me Caillou Blue Kelly and Sean Wade. We done just wasted two fifth round picks.
Yeah.
That didn't make it to season.
Particularly, look, Caillou Blue Kelly, okay, I whatever. Maybe you thought he could play and everything. But Sean Wade, I mean, we said it on our show as soon as the draft ended. I was like, it doesn't matter how good he is. He can't make the team. Like, you have too many corners already. And he said it was a complete waste of a pick. People got mad, and he was traded less than a week later.
Yep.
You drafted a backup fullback. You weren't cutting hard on Ricard. What the hell you drafted him for?
Facts. Facts.
You know, whatever.
Ben Mason. What did you draft Ben Mason for? I'm still stuck on that one. And to somebody's point earlier, when they talked Black Daniels' point earlier about Andrew Voorhees, we do this every year. And I hate to sit here and be the bearer of bad news. I hate to say be that bearer. I said the same thing with David Ojabo. I told you this when we drafted him. I said, this is what's going to happen. David Ojabo is going to come back too soon. He's going to get hurt in his rookie year. To prove something, he's going to come back in his second year and come back too soon once again, and he's going to get hurt. His third year, he's going to be decent. And in his fourth year, he's going to ball out of control and price himself out of Baltimore. And we're on that trajectory already. And the same thing is going to happen with Andrew Voorhees. He stayed hurt in college. He got hurt. He was hurt. He's going to be hurt this year. He's going to be hurt next year. And we're going to go round and round. We go on that same merry-go-round.
I'm going to agree to you up to a point. Andrew Voorhees just sucks. And David Ojabo's not going to ball out because he was never the player that y'all thought he was.
Yes, he passes. Yes, they passes.
Okay.
But once again, but everybody, I keep hearing everybody say, oh, when Andrew Voorhees comes back, he's going to be our starting tackle. How, Sway? How? The man hasn't had a healthy season in college.
Well, let me ask you this.
What's up?
How was Alejandro Villanueva your starting left tackle? And him starting for Baltimore does not mean he is good.
This is facts. This is facts. Damn. You know what? It's like, for me, it's like trauma. You know, sometimes you have trauma in your life and you try to block it out. I keep forgetting we had Villanueva play for us. I keep it blocks out of my mind until somebody mentions it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
So, does every EDC lover on the planet.
That is true.
Y'all conveniently forget about that year.
That is facts. That is facts. There's a year we went into knowing Ronnie Stanley was not healthy. We knew he wasn't healthy. And yet and still, your plan was sign Villanueva, play him at right tackle. I'm sorry, bring in Juwan James, who couldn't stay healthy at all. Like, this man just was Mr. Glass when he got about his wheelchair, his legs just broke. And what happened in the first game? Juwan James goes down. We got to move all old boy over to the left side. And Eric DaCosta did not have a plan set in place. But this is the guy that y'all keep telling me is cooking. And in turn, that offensive line got Lamar hurt that year.
Mm-hmm. I, for one, could not believe the tackle who had missed like three straight seasons didn't go out there and give you 17 games. I couldn't believe it.
But I remember that second year he got hurt and he got cut by Denver and the Ravens signed him. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, that's such a smart move. EDC is so smart. You know, you sign him while he hurt, which gives him lesser money. So when he comes back healthy, he's going to pay dividends. That's such a genius move. Except Juwan James was the Hamburglar. Except for with money.
I remember the first time I got the wool pulled over my eyes with the we drafted this injured dude, and oh my god, he was highly thought of before his injury. I'm a genius because I got him at a discount, and it was with San Francisco the year they drafted like three or four injured players. One of them was the offensive lineman out of Clemson, and the following year, all those guys came back, and all those guys were trash.
What's going on, Keelan? Keelan says, so Voorhees' contract doesn't start until next season. He's going to be the Zeitler replacement. He won't have any setbacks because he would have sat nearly 2 years rehabilitating. Well, let me ask you this question. What was the excuse for Odell Beckham Jr.? Because he sat, and he did not look good this year. He had moments, but he didn't look good. And we can't afford to have a starting left guard, right guard, whatever he's going to play, to have spots of good games. And he couldn't stay healthy in college. That is my whole point. And it's not even about he got hurt right before the draft. He never stayed healthy in college. So what makes you think he's going to get to the pros and say, you know what? Now I'm going to be healthy. Now I'm going to avoid the injury bug now. Like, my thing is, if he came in and he played last season and he was fine, I give it to you all. We have not seen this man play one snap in the NFL. Not one. We haven't seen him practice in the NFL. He hasn't scrimmaged. He hasn't done a walkthrough. But we're putting so much on his shoulders that he's supposed to be a replacement for a Pro Bowl level guard. I don't see it. We're putting so much pressure on Keaton Mitchell that he's going to come in here and be the starting running back. We don't even know if these two guys are going to be healthy enough to play the season. Because what can happen is they can come back from injury and scar tissue could arise. And we're in the same situation we were in with J.K. Dobbins when he came back too soon and limped around the field. We don't know. Let the man play first, and then we'll judge him from that point. But for me, like, he's a non-factor. If he comes in and he does his thing, bam, it's a positive. It's a plus. But you cannot rely on a player that has never played in the NFL to come in and start for this offense.
Well, I mean, hey, Tanja, how you doing? Forget about had never played in the NFL. The man was in college for 4 years and played 13 games. What makes you think he knows how to play O-line at all? Now, look, I'm not going to pretend that I went and studied all of Andrew Voorhees' elusive tape. But I read, you know, when Ravens fans started talking about him, I went and I read some scouting reports on him, and I didn't see any that were high on Andrew Voorhees. And that was aside from his injury issues.
Facts. Damn, you know what? I knew he was injured in college, but he only played 13 games.
Yeah.
So the Ravens got Trey Lance on the offensive line and think he's going to come in and make a difference? Huh?
Why you got to be Trey Lance? Why you got to be Trey Lance, though?
Because Trey Lance didn't have experience in college, and this man went 3 overall.
Trey Lance about to inherit that well-oiled Cowboys machine once they get rid of Dak.
You think they get rid of Dak?
I didn't say this season, but I said only once they did.
They about to sign Dak to the highest contract in NFL history.
I know. Trey Lance is going to be gone.
Trey Lance can start for the Ottawa Hawkeyes.
That's rude.
Isn't that the hockey team? Ottawa Senators.
I'm like, it's a hockey team and a college football team. I don't know. why Ottawa? He plays in Dallas. Why did you say the Dallas Stars?
Florida Panthers.
This is a hockey team in Dallas.
What is it? The Stars?
Yes, I just said the Dallas Stars.
Oh, damn. I'm sorry. When I hear hockey and baseball, I zone out. My apologies. I'm sorry. Wow. But yes, listen, we put too much pressure on these rookies or these second year players to do things that we don't even expect our veterans to do. You expect Voorhees to come in off the bench cold and do something that John Simpson couldn't do? Because John Simpson was terrible.
Yeah, like I said, anything can happen, right? And you know, players who nobody expected anything out of can turn into good, productive players. It's not out of the question. But your plan should not be, we're going to replace this longtime NFL starter, this Pro Bowl caliber offensive lineman, with a 7th-round pick who played 13 games in college.
Thanks. And listen, if we move on from Stanley, who are we going to put in there? Who are we going to put in there? I'm being serious. Like, who are we going to have? Because, of course, Pat McCrary is just this indispensable Swiss Army knife that we have to move all around the line. He can't play any position well, but who are we putting at left tackle? It's not Faalele. It ain't him. It ain't. Who's our backup left tackle other than McCrary?
You don't have a backup tackle. That's been the entire problem. In Baltimore, he doesn't have backup tackles on the roster typically. Like Faalele is the only guy, and before him, it wasn't anybody.
It's impossible, Rodney. EDC be cooking, so it's impossible that we don't have a backup plan in case Ronnie Stanley goes down. It's I refuse to believe this. EDC has been cooking out here in these streets, and he pretty much does. That's pretty much his role now. Weezy, hard R record plays. He plays O line. He's in there to block. Like, they don't even run him out for routes or have him run the ball. And there's some short yardage situations, I thought they should have ran him. But, yeah, you know.
Listen, Keelan, I was joking. I said that Trey Lance is going to take over in Dallas. You're not going to go from a guy who's consistently a top 7 to 10 QB in the league to a dude who's never played. Never really played. When he did, he didn't look very good. And there's no reason that Dak Prescott would sign a 1-year deal.
True. He has no reason to. I would like to think that Dakota Rain is a lot smarter than that.
Especially, I mean, he's under contract for this upcoming season anyway. But true. He wouldn't. Why would he sign a 1-year deal?
$59 million cap hit. $59 million. Mm-hmm. Good for Dallas. Good for Dallas, because you know what that does? I think for me, and I hate the Cowboys with every fiber of my being, every beat of my heart, I hate the Cowboys. But that messed up Dak Prescott deal and all the other deals that they've done, the Dexter Lawrence and all DeMarcus Lawrence and all the rest of those deals have allowed them to let Tyron Smith become a free agent. That is a tackle that I want. Like, to me, he is one of the best. Huh? Because if he can stay healthy, he's one of the best.
If tackles he can stay league. Healthy, Ronnie Stanley's one of the best tackles in the league, but he can't, just like Tyron Smith can't. So
he stayed healthy last season.
No, he didn't.
For the most part, he did.
No, listen, Teron Smith has not played, I'm looking at it right now. Teron Smith has not played more than 13 games since. Well, you guess. What year do you think was the last time he played more than 13 games?
2016.
Very close. 2015.
Yeah.
Huh. So he 13 seems to be his limit. He went 13, 13, 13, 13, 2, 11, 4, and then 13 this past season.
Bradley, I only need him for the playoffs.
Okay, and he won't miss them.
So. I understand, and I get it. I get it. I get it. We don't need to go into a situation with more unhealthy individuals. I get it. But we need some upgrades. And for me, it's just not that he is one of the better tackles. It's his mentality. Like, he has a mean streak to him. I'm tired of my team being soft. And it's kind of hard to say that the football player is soft because they're technically not, but just mentally. I think, and for me, not even losing the AFC Championship game, I don't think that was the biggest disappointment for me. The biggest disappointment for me was I feel like the team was mentally weak. I think the pregame shenanigans got into the Ravens' head. Like, I think as a team, we let them mentally punk us, and we never recovered from it. And when we did recover from it defensively, it was too late. The team was already shook. We were out of whack. We didn't know what to do. So I think we need more guys on this team that's like, yo, we ain't going for this. We need somebody on this team that's going to stand up in that huddle and be like, yo, if y'all don't get y'all stuff together, when we get into that locker room, I'm kicking all y'all ass. Like, it works for some teams, and we need that.
So this right here is a problem that I have with the NFL and draft coverage and NFL fans. You click on Keelan's last comment here. He says, the tackles we can get in this draft can all replace Ronnie. Tyler Guyton, Amarius Mims, Patrick Paul, Kyron, I'm not going to try, and Kingsley. I promise you all five of them can't play.
Right.
I promise you that. And fans look at draft picks as sure things, and they're absolutely not, especially not on the O-line. I think it's likely that none of those guys can replace him next season. You know, that's more likely than any of those guys can replace him. Right? And the problem for Baltimore is Eric DaCosta is making the picks, and he has shown to not be so great at drafting offensive linemen. So you can't look at, hey, we got this tackle in the first round, and they're a surefire replacement for Ronnie Stanley. Okay. I mean, Carolina drafted a tackle in the first round a couple of years ago, you know, and he was okay his rookie season. And we thought, hey, you know, he's going to be much better year two. And he's the reason that Bryce Young looked terrible. One of the five reasons.
Thanks. It's horrible. It's horrible. This is horrible. Should have checked the team. He should have checked the team. What is he on the sidelines for? He's on the sidelines just to be called a great coach. You know what I'm saying? When they was getting mad and getting penalties, like he does nothing. He stands there with that distraught look on his face. He doesn't coach offense. He doesn't coach defense. Apparently, he doesn't manage the team because they were trying to bring back Jerry Rosberg for that role. What is his purpose? I don't see a purpose for him. But y'all tried to tell me before, we need Harbaugh. If we get rid of John Harbaugh, who are we going to bring in to be the head coach? Does it really matter? Because he doesn't do anything spectacular as a head coach to me. Yeah. I used to think, and I used to say this, and Brian and Jose corrected me many a times. I used to say, I don't think he's a great coach, but I think he's a motivator of men. And then listening to y'all and actually watching him, he doesn't motivate people. He is just a part of a great culture. This team has great culture and great history. And I just think that he is a benefactor of all the things that have happened with this organization and Lamar Jackson being his quarterback and Terrell Suggs, Ray Lewis, and Ed Reed being on his defenses. He has prospered the greatest out of many head coaches because if we look at non-Lamar years, non-Ray Lewis years, what did John Harbaugh do? Absolutely nada.
Keelan says, you draft one of them to play at right tackle while setting them up to be Ryan's replacement. Look what the Bucs did with Tristan Wirfs. All of those tackles are athletes and need a little polishing. No, I understand what you're saying, Keelan. My point to you is that they're not all going to be good NFL players. Like, you can't just look at a list and be like, hey, all these guys are going to work out. Let's just get one of them. That's not how it works at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a crapshoot. Listen, drafting is a crapshoot. It takes a lot of luck And it takes, you have to have the right player and you have to have the right system. Because sometimes I've seen great players go to bad systems and just not work out. And you can't expect every draft pick just because ESPN ranks them 1 to 10. ESPN ranked offensive linemen from 1 to 10 the last 3 years. And there are plenty of them that did not work out. Did not work out. I'm doing a video and I was doing a list. And I remember the reviews on Ereck Flowers. And how Ereck Flowers was a can't-miss prospect.
Why you ain't go to one of Florida State's linemen? That's what I'm wondering.
Right, I thought, didn't he go to North Carolina?
You know goddamn well where he went.
Oh, he went to the U. Anyway, Ereck Flowers was touted as big, probably being one of the best offensive linemen to come out in the last 20 years. And he was horrible. It's hit or miss. Like, I'm sorry. Unless you have talent evaluators, because either it's the system or Pittsburgh has some of the best evaluators I've ever seen. When it comes to finding draft gems, especially at the wide receiver position, after the third and fourth round, Pittsburgh always gets it done. They find defensive players in later rounds. We don't do that. And a lot of teams don't do that, especially we don't do that with offensive linemen. We hit with Tyler Linderbaum. It's kind of hard to miss on the best center in the draft. It's kind of hard to miss on it. But if you look at all the other ones.
Sort of like how the Browns did on Cam Irving.
Listen. And I'm going to say this, as a Florida State fan, Cam Irvin was worse than Ereck Flowers. Cam Irvin was a...
Oh, I know, because that first round center ended up playing left tackle for my team for a while. Yeah, he did. Okay? I know all about the Florida State draft. Okay? You don't need to remind me of Cam Irvin and Kelvin Benjamin and Everett Brown and Peter Warwick and them. All right, I know. I'm saying you don't need to reach for the hurricane example every time. Is what I'm saying.
I'm not. And listen, and thank gosh, I had to do some research. So my next video, maybe. So I'm gonna do like the worst draft pick for every NFL team, right? Maybe. But I was going through and doing some research, and I'm glad I did more research. But going in and doing some research, I was like, oh, another Florida State player. He can't be the worst. God, him too? So luckily, they were like two or three. It was a lot of Florida State dudes that just didn't live up to expectation. I can't even hold you.
Keelan, yeah, this is another pet peeve of mine. I'm sorry. I'm not picking on you, Keelan. This is just one of those things that irritates me. We used to find defensive players in the later rounds under Ozzie. Za'Darius and Judon were fourth and fifth round picks. Yeah, and Arthur Brown was a first round pick or a second round pick, and Matt Ellen was a first round pick, right? You know, people like to look at the Jets, they don't look at the picks that you missed.
Facts.
You know, you had Sergio. Matt Ellen and Arthur Brown, Sergio Keelan,
Sergio Kendall,
what's his name, Mount Cody, you know,
Rashad Perryman.
Who was that? Courtney Upshaw was, no, he wasn't that.
Courtney was, he was decent,
he was okay. But you know, Bronson Calfusi, Tim Williams, like. Yeah,
Camille Correa.
Yeah, every GM picks good players. Every GM finds you know, diamonds in the rough, finds late round gems. All of them do. Every single one of them. And they all miss on way more picks than they land.
Facts. Listen, Daniel, this is going to be an outstanding draft for the Ravens. They're gonna take Coleman in the first round and Trey Benson in the third. And it's over. Ravens win the Super Bowl.
Listen, Daniel, don't.
Don't yes, Moosa Smith.
Don't Moosa get your hopes Smith. Up with them Seminoles. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going to say.
And listen, I'm not trying to say we're not going to be fine. And first of all, I don't cry rivers. But tell me this, Ravens win 16. You keep saying we will be fine. How many years in a row have you said we will be fine? Because I swear after 2019, y'all, maybe not you, said we're going to be fine. We're going to retool and come back. Then we had 2020. We're going to be fine. We're going to retool and come back. 2021, we're going to be fine. We're going to retool and come back. How many times is an organization with draft busts that we've had or free agents that didn't work out, are we going to go into a season with the best team, lose, and then lose a bunch of free agents? Because no matter how you spin it, we have 29 free agents on this team, and most of them aren't coming back. This is going to be a different iteration of the Baltimore Ravens come next season. And when we don't win a Super Bowl, and if we don't win a Super Bowl next season, is it still going to be, we're going to be fine again? We're going to be fine until we're fine, huh?
I just don't want to hear. I'm not even going to argue with this dude, but like, he's been the GM for 5 years. In that time, he was
the most gifted. Drafted.
He was gifted a two-time MVP quarterback because he didn't draft Lamar Jackson. So he was given a two-time MVP quarterback. And, you know, like somebody told us before, look at his resume. His resume says he ain't won shit. So go make your argument somewhere else, man. Like, that's cool. You like EDC. I'm not even saying he's a terrible GM or anything. But the fact of the matter is he's been the GM for 5 years and y'all haven't won anything.
The most picks in the league by far. The most draft picks by any general manager by far. And he's had the most draft busts. That's why every single season we got to come in and get free agents to replace the guys that don't work out. Because EDC be in the draft cooking. And if we were fine, we'd have had a running back. We'd have got a running back at the deadline. And don't tell me Tennessee backed out of the deal for Derrick Henry. Because my thing is, if you offer a team what they want, I don't give a goddamn what they say. Nah, I ain't going to do it, man. You offer anybody anything over what they're asking, they're going to give it to you. So if you really wanted to go all in, if you really wanted to be all in as the general manager, go back to 2020. Get him wide receivers. Get him an offensive lineman and let him cook on offense and see what we can do. But he didn't do that. We went more defense. We're going to get more defense. This offseason, y'all talking about get me more defense, even though we can't score. We can't score in the playoffs. I mean, fuck what we do during the regular season. We could average 100 points during the regular season, but come playoff time, we're averaging 9 fucking points a game. 9 points a game outside of that Houston game. But if you want to add that, 13 points per game as an offense. So you telling me we'll be fine with what? Because it's the same problem we had in 2019. It's the same problem we had in 2020. Same problem we had in 2022. Same problem we had in 2023. We can't score. Mm-hmm. And we're not addressing what's wrong with this team. So how are we going to be fine when we're not addressing what is actually wrong with this organization? But we're going to keep throwing good after bad on defense. Hey, defense was number one in scoring. Defense was number one in turnovers. Defense was number one in sacks. But yet and still, that's not good enough for us to win. So we're going to get even more defense. So guess what? We get more defense. We sign more free agents. We hold teams now to 10 points per game, but we're only scoring 7 points. How do we win that game? The name of the game is to score to win. If we cannot score, how do we win?
Agnes, like, Ravens fans are the best at you know, insulting their own team while also telling you they're football. What makes you think all these great players want to come here? What makes you think they don't?
Right.
What makes you think they don't? And by the way, the players that Hendo's talking about that they could have traded for didn't have a choice. Facts. They were going to go where they were traded.
Facts. Hey, come on. Like, if we got here right now, even if, let's just say for instance, just example. Let's say for instance, the Cincinnati Bengals franchise tag T. Higgins. And then they get into a beef and they don't like each other anymore. And the Ravens trade for T. Higgins. And T. Higgins say, I don't want to go to Baltimore. So either T. Higgins misses out on his franchise money and sits out, or he goes to Baltimore. He doesn't have a choice. So don't tell me about somebody wanting to come here. We don't know what they want to do. My thing is, build your team accordingly.
No, Agnes, they would not have been there because your GM does not attempt to get high-end offensive players on the team.
He does not.
He doesn't.
He don't.
Period.
He don't. And y'all, and listen, kudos to the smoke screen that was kudos to the smoke screen that was Odell Beckham Jr. Kudos. Everybody ate that shit up. And I hate to say it like that, but everybody ate that shit up. And I knew it was a smoke screen. Everybody said, oh, you can't tell me that Eric DaCosta is not trying to get Lamar weapons. He went out and got a 30-something year old, no ACL having Odell Beckham Jr. So you can't tell me that he's not trying. Remember T.O.? Screw T.O. I don't blame T.O., though. Like, I don't blame T.O.
Well, listen, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, all, and I'm sure I'm forgetting others, but all those guys were traded while Lamar was on his rookie deal. Baltimore could have been in on any of those deals and gotten him a real number one wide receiver. They didn't. True. That's just what it is.
It's true. This is true.
Look, Lamar wanted Beckham and Hopkins.
Right, he wanted both. And the Ravens said, we'll give you one. we'll give you one. We're not going to give you both. And I'll up you a Nelson Aguilar. And he was like, with this and the money, I can't turn it down. So it's like the argument that people made a few years ago when they said Lamar said, I want a receiver or an offensive lineman. I guarantee you Lamar didn't say I want a receiver or an offensive lineman. I guarantee you he said I want a receiver and y'all heard or. Who's going to sit there and say, given a choice? Because we never go into a season saying, yo, give me a pass rusher or a cornerback. Y'all say, give me both of them. Y'all say, go out and get all the pieces on defense on every level. But when it comes to offense, man, we can't sign a wide receiver and an offensive lineman. It's too much money. What do you think? Do we look like the New Orleans Saints? We just can't make money out of thin air. And yes, the Diggs hurts to me because we passed on him twice. We could have drafted him. And once again, it's not all EDC because Stephon Diggs, he's from around the way. His mother told Ozzy, like, yo, draft my son. If you pass on him, it's going to be a mistake. He went out. He did some good things in Minnesota. When he went to get traded from Minnesota, we passed on him again. Now, my thing is, this is the third opportunity because they seem to be disgruntled up there in Buffalo. And this is an opportunity for the Ravens to acquire. Hey, y'all don't seem to be good up in Buffalo. You trying to give up your mans and them? I got a second round pick for you. Even if he ain't worth a second. It's worth it to try and swing for somebody you know can play rather than drafting somebody you hope can play.
Agnes, no, it's not going to prevent anybody from coming. Players go where they're offered money.
So
as simple as that.
So to your whole point, and we don't have to look any further than Odell Beckham Jr. You say people don't want to come here. Odell was about to board a plane to go to New York to become a Jet to play with Aaron Rodgers. Until the Ravens said, hey, that $4 million that they're offering you, we're going to damn near quadruple it. We'll give you 15 guaranteed, 18 with incentives. And he said, $4 million here, 15 with an upwards of 18 million here. I'm going to go where that 15 mil is. So that right there tells you people go where the money is. A lot of people don't care about winning, even with Calais Campbell. Calais Campbell said out of his mouth before he left Baltimore, I want to win a Super Bowl, and immediately went to Atlanta and signed with them immediately. Does he really want to win a Super Bowl, or did he just want to live somewhere comfortable and get paid?
He did want to win a Super Bowl. He wanted to win the Calais Campbell Super Bowl, and that was getting the highest check or biggest check that he could find. And he won it. and congrats to him.
Yeah, but I'm saying my whole thing is, and sometimes some players, they just don't care. You know, they just don't want to go out and want to win. They just want to be in a comfortable situation, hopefully make the playoffs, make some money, and have some fun. You know what I'm saying?
And I promise you it applies to all players. I promise you it does. And even if it doesn't, let's say there's one or two special unicorns out there who don't want the money. What would they want? They would want to win, right? Y'all were in the AFC Championship game last year, so why would they not want to come to Baltimore?
Right.
And even if it was just, hey, you know what? I don't want to play for Baltimore. You only need to sign one. You don't need to sign all of them.
Just got to find that one. Just got to find that one. Yes, we are.
I'm making excuses for why y'all ain't got no talent, man.
Yes, I'm on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all of those things at The Rogue Pod. Rodney, he is on everything at LBHT Show. Like, you just like you're thinking about that for a second.
No, I was just wondering why you put it out there.
I'm saying we might have a new subscriber, like your new follower. Like, oh, isn't that what we're doing it for?
Wait, what?
Who's offering more?
No. I'm sorry. You said that doesn't apply to all players. And then when I said, why wouldn't they want to come to a winning organization? You said someone offered them more money. So money.
Is what we said. But nobody offered OBJ more money. We offered them the most. And we're not picking with you, Agnes. We're not picking. We know you have your favorites. We know. All right, listen, we've been here an hour and a half. I only plan on doing this for like 35 minutes. Yeah. Well, this is what happens when people don't show up on time.
Wow.
Okay. That could have been the late one. You nobody know.
Okay.
But guess what, Bradley? Guess what?
Don't be like that, Agnes. I'm asking you to make your point. You're going back and forth on your own point.
Wow, Agnes, that's what we're doing right now. This is how we carrying things right now. Okay. That's what we doing. That's how we go. Okay. Guess what, Roddy?
On the Lord's Day?
On the Lord's. This is how you act on the Lord's Day? A day of peace and rest? That's what we got going on today, Agnes. I thought we was better than this, but apparently I was wrong. Huh. Guess what, Roddy?
What's up?
Guess what comes next week?
What comes next week?
Part 2 of Thanos. The ring finger ring is coming. That ring finger ring is coming. It's even better than this one. It should have been here by now. But that ring finger one is gonna be pretty sweet. So I'm gonna have two rings. Pretty soon I'll be Thanos. I'm gonna be just walking right here with a handful of championship rings, bro.
You'll be Baltimore Thanos because you know he had
that hurts.
You settling for two.
But I mean, technically, if I take both of my LBHT trophies, it's pretty much four.
Are those rings, though?
But if I take them and put them in the like, use them like Infinity Stones and put them in, make a gauntlet.
You ain't got a gauntlet though.
I will. Okay. Now that you said so, I'm going to make a gauntlet.
You do that.
I know, and I still got bees.
It's messed up. I got stuff too.
Does this look open to you, Brody?
Yes, it does.
Samurai sword. I got Brody's samurai sword. That's right, D-Weezy. That's right, D-Weezy. I like that. I'm changing my name. My new name is Henos. Henos.
You don't want to be calling you Henos.
Henos. Just come in. Man, I'm kidding. I don't really care. All right, B. I want to have still 67 people in here. Appreciate you all for hanging out with us for an hour and a half. Like, I didn't expect this. We wasn't even straight tonight. Brody said we had to. So thank Brody.
No.
Hopefully you all.
No.
I'm giving you credit.
Yeah.
Hopefully you all enjoyed the content. Hopefully you all enjoyed what we have to bring. Brody, can you tell people where they can find you and all the miraculous and wonderful things
you have like an hour. You can find me on Lunch Break Hot Take every Wednesday evening at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time for the LBHT show, followed up by the overtime show for patrons. You can also find me on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time over on Sit to Tally Films with Hendo, Jose, OTR, Mike, Chris Just Joking, and, of course, Coach Evans for the Ravens Roundup. You can find me and Hendo on Tuesdays, 9:45 p.m. Eastern Time over on Suge Knight 323 for the Steel Conspiracy. And then...
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes,
mm-hmm.
on occasion,
mm-hmm.
when there's something to talk about, you can find me on Ring Kings Podcast with Jose and OTR Mike.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Listen, you can also find me on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. with my man, Mr. Galloway, on Electric Relaxation with Mr. Galloway, talking all things hip-hop. My man just released a solo video today. Please go over to this channel and check the video out. It's really, really dope. It's actually about Common Sense. And for some of you older people, you may know him, or younger people, you may know him as Common, but he started out as Common Sense and then switched over to Common after Erykah Badu scrambled his brain.
And if you're even younger, you know him as that bald head dude that can't act.
You might be right. But yeah, listen. So make sure you go check out everybody. All the people I roll with, dope content creators. A lot of things to say, very entertaining, especially for those of you that don't have TV, cable. It's something to do. Like, subscribe, share with your family members. Also, if you want to support this channel even further, make sure you go over to patreon.com, become a patron of this channel. Lunch Break Hot Take. I'll put the links in the description. If you become a patron, you can actually come hang out with us after streams. Some occasions you may get to stream with us. You get to join the Fantasy Football League. You get to join the Pickups League. You can win, you know, some hardware like this. But also, April the 6th, we are giving a free tour to all of our patrons at M&T Bank Stadium, Raven Stadium. Afterwards, we're going to hang out. It's going to be a really good time. So make sure you go over to patreon.com/ROUG or /LBHT show. Or /SiftToTally, become a patron today, get the perks, hang out with us. We're building a really, really dope community. I met these gentlemen on the community, and when I tell you, I have no closer friends than all of these guys here, and even Brodney. So
why is it gotta be even me?
So if you want to become a part of the family, nice
moment that you ruined.
I'm sorry. So if you want to become a part of what we have going on here, make sure you sign up today. So we're gonna get up out of here. And Brodney, since you didn't see the intro, I'm gonna play the intro for you.
I don't know what you mean. I was here at the beginning. I saw the intro.
Oh, I'm sorry. So for all the people that didn't see the new intro, we've named the show since Brodney said he wasn't gonna be my co-host anymore unless I put a name on the show. This is the name of the show. This is the new intro. Hope y'all like it. I was up all night. I was actually watching TV, but I was up all night putting this together. Let me know what y'all think. Was it? You like that?
Yes, I don't like the part where it implied that we were going to talk basketball and college football.
We may. Like, this channel is forever evolving, forever growing. And, we may go out.
That it was Warriors and whatnot, and there was no Lakers on there. And
I mean, we want to talk about the Lakers losing? We can talk about that, Brodney.
They're better than Golden State. That's so cool, I'm not man, sure.
But in their last sure five games, in their last five either. Games, they have not been. In the last 10, they have not been, so. All right, y'all. Once again, appreciate y'all being here. We out, and we will see y'all
next time. Good thing I just looked. I didn't know we were still alive. I was about to say something that should not be live.